4 minutes after 8 o'clock, VOB 92.9 FM, and you can't miss it. You thought that nothing could eclipse the coronavirus in terms of the news cycle, and then the killing of George Floyd occurred. And we see how all 50 states in the USA, all 50, they now have protests, and now it's spilled over to the world, so we have it across continents as well. And we all have family, friends, or we visited. There's some connection to the USA in some way for most of us. And it's interesting to get that perspective from that side. On the line, I have Tiffany Wheeler Robinson. She's a black mother of two boys. And obviously, it would have an impact on her as a mother, seeing what's happening to young men, what's happening to black young men over there. And she has her Bajan roots. Her parents are Barbadian. So there is that link. So let's say good morning to Tiffany. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Cashy. How are you?
I'm all right. Good to hear you. Well, first, let me thank you for coming on the show this morning. But I'd like to know, what's the atmosphere like where you are right now?
Well, I'm pretty lucky because I live in a suburb because I moved from an urban area to a suburb. So we have protesters over here, but it's not as intense mm-hmm. as you would get maybe in New York City or where the incident actually occurred.
What are you
but
seeing?
Everyone is on high alert.
Yep. When your sons are seeing this, are you having that conversation with your sons? What are you saying to them?
You have to have the conversation. You can't ignore this. It's in your face. I'm telling my kids, you know what? I love you because I don't know that I will see them, you know, after school or after they go to the park or after they go to ride their bike. It's very scary because no one's going to tell you outwardly I'm a racist. And because the country is on such high alert, I am not responsible for anyone else's actions. So all I have to do is prepare my boys and how to react to their negative actions.
How old are your boys?
I have a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old. So they're currently at the stage where they're no longer cute, and they're transforming from, oh, he's cute, to now he might possibly be a threat.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say you moved from an urban area. You were in New York. And you moved to North Carolina. Now, while you said it's not as intense, there's still the possibility, there's still the exposure to these sorts of things. Now, you said for them now, for the boys now, they will see things differently. They will be trying to understand this here. How do you hold their hand and take them through it? How do you say to them, well, you know, there are people out there that just don't have your best interests at heart?
Well, please remember, I live in the South now, and the South was known for racism. This is where most of, you know, slavery took place. The North was actually a better place to live, you know, back in yesteryear where, you know, slavery was not as intense. So as far as my boys go, I can't hide it from them. It's all over the news. People are talking about it. They're whispering about it. So I have to really show them the truth. I let them watch the news, and I give them these real-world conversations that CNN will not tell them. Like, you have to be careful. You have to have your hands up. You have to tell them, please don't shoot me. You have to tell them, you know, I am not a threat. I'm not doing anything wrong. So these are the real conversations that I'm having with my young men.
It could seem somewhat like fear-mongering. Or is it fear-mongering, or is it just the reality that you're facing?
This is our reality. No matter what, my boys, they're African-American and they're male. That's two strikes against them. I don't need them having a third one. So we're not living in fear. This is our reality, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Now, you also have your family members, your cousins, your uncles. I mean, they're all a part of it, you know. Are you constantly in contact with them? Are you constantly fearing for them?
We have to be. We have to keep each other in our, you know, each other's thoughts and prayers because I don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. I have family all over the world. I could have a family member in New York who happened to be going to the grocery store and get stopped and something happens. And this is why we have to keep that family connection.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were speaking before and you mentioned the situation and it really hit home when you said it. Tell us about when you asked your son to take the garbage out that night.
So it was one night. It was really rainy. We've been getting a lot of rain over here lately. And our garbage cans are kept in the back of our house. And I said to my son, hey, go ahead and pull the garbage can to the front of the house for me. And, you know, it's raining, so he put on a hoodie and he puts on his boots and then he goes to do the garbage. And then he stops midway. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He goes, Mom, I can't do it. I said, you know, I kind of get a little frustrated. Like, boy, you better go bring that garbage to the front. And he goes, Mom, it's raining. It's dark. We live in a predominantly white community, and I don't want to be a hashtag. I wanted to cry. My son was scared to bring the garbage can from the front, from the back of the house to the front of the house because he was scared of getting shot or just being a black kid in a white community. And that hurt my heart. My 12-year-old son told me, Mom, I cannot take around the garbage can because I don't want to be a hashtag.
Wow. And, you know, I think it's stories like that there that really need to be told, because sometimes people may think, okay, it's a little bit of an overreaction, maybe you're reaching, but that fear is real, because you can just be stopped for being black. You can be abused by the authorities, the ones that are supposed to be protecting you for being black. It's just that reality. Now, as a teacher interacting with those teenagers, have they been relaying those stories? Have they relayed those stories to you when you were teaching teenagers?
All the time. And they don't take it serious sometimes, which is really scary to me. Some take it too serious, which is never too serious. Let me not say that. It's never too serious. It's a very serious situation. But then I have some students who didn't take it serious enough. And I'm like, this is your life. This is not a video game. You cannot press reset. This is real. Mm-hmm. And until sometime you're in that position, you don't understand it.
Wow. All right, Tiffany, we have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere because I want to continue this conversation with you. All right?
Sure. I look forward to it.
All right. Having a conversation with Tiffany Wheeler Robinson, and she's a mother of two young black boys living in North Carolina. We'll continue that conversation in just a couple minutes. As we continue our conversation, she's still on the line with us, Tiffany Wheeler Robinson, and she was just relaying the experiences of her sons, of her students in America, being black in America, basically. And, you know, it's no longer cliche. That's it. You know, being black in America is different from just being in America. And the American dream sometimes turns into a nightmare for others. Now, let me ask this here, Tiffany. This isn't the first time. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time. And as your son alluded to, you know, it always becomes a hashtag. There is always another protest. You know, there are always riots. You know, we've seen it for decades. Is this any different with George Floyd? Are these protests any different? Are you seeing anything different?
I would really hope so. I would hope that justice is actually served. Because after a while, how much can a community take? Because it hurts personally. Because he could be our brother, our husband, our father, our son. We take it personally. We're tired of losing lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say, but you're hoping. I think a lot of people are hoping for justice. And I guess maybe there may have been a glimmer when the charges were upgraded from third degree to second degree, and then the others were found culpable as well. But is there a thought that perhaps we can see real justice this time? What have you been hearing from your peers? What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Basically, everyone, the consensus is that we are hoping justice will actually be served. It's one thing to get charged, but let's see, you know, what happens afterwards. Are they going to be held accountable for their actions, or will they be acquitted? So right now, we're all like on pins and needles, and we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen next. But the American people, we do want justice. Mm-hmm.
Has this affected your relationships with your non-black counterparts?
I can say yes and no. There's always that uncomfortable conversation. They look at you like a deer with headlights, and they don't know what to say to you. But sometimes you have to start that courageous conversation, that uncomfortable conversation, and go, you know what? Listen, you're my friend. You're my counterpart. I would like for you to be part of this movement, because if you stay silent, you're not helping us.
Mm-hmm. How can, I mean, we all know, yes, I was just going to say, how can it be better? But do you see the possibility of things being better, or do we still have a long ways to go with this?
I do see the possibility of things becoming better, but we still have a long journey ahead of us. This is not going to be a short road at all. Mm-hmm. Racism and slavery is not going to end overnight. People's mindsets don't change overnight, but I'm hoping that gradually, as a country, we can all do it together.
And for your part, I mean, being a mother of these two young boys, and you want to see them grow, you want to see them graduate, you want to see them get married, you want to possibly have the pleasure of someone calling you granny, it just becomes too real when you realize, you know, this might not really materialize.
It's actually scary. It's one of the scariest things that you can even think of, having a child that you brought into this world possibly not being here just because of the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to let you go because I know you do have things to get down to. You are busy. It's great that you can work from home. You're one of those that can work from home. But
It's been a blessing.
What would you say then? Because, I mean, a lot of Barbadians travel to the U.S. You know, a lot of Barbadians study in the U.S. You know, we were always back and forth. What would you say to them when in coming, should they come? And if they do come, how do you move? How do you operate?
I would definitely tell them, please come. You know, we cannot let fear rule us. Together, we can stick together. We can support each other, and we can become more vigilant. We can teach each other how to operate around the police, who are not always in our favor, because every officer is not bad, and we're not going to tag them like that. So I definitely encourage all, you know, people from wherever they may be to definitely come and visit the U.S., come and, you know, learn our culture, come and enjoy a holiday here, and together we can definitely, you know, support each other and make your trip a great one.
All right, well, Tiffany, I want to thank you for spending some time with us. You know, I wish all the best for you, your sons, for your family, for friends, everyone, and I just encourage you to stay safe, yeah?
Thank you so much. You have a great one.
All right, thank you very much.